And by that, I mean it's the production computer's frozen up. So no nifty intro courtesy of John Fox at the moment. Probably looking at a restart of the machine in fairly short order. Nice. But, you know, why not, of course. Hey, this is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. It is the 7th day of January, 2015. And it's freezing outside. We're on our way down to zero-ish this evening, and it's probably worse than that, perhaps, in some places, wherever you may be. Better in others, I have no doubt. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And yes, indeed, it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. With all the shilly-shallying and silliness that goes with that. And we got some prayer meeting stories. Of course, somewhere along the way, we will also have to... Thank you. Randy noting loud and clear on iTunes on my Mac, Bob. Randy reminds me to leave those cabinets open tonight. Yeah, in a lot of the East and part of the Upper Midwest, cabinet leaving opening is probably a good idea. Oh, let's see. No, production machine still grinding away. Oh God. Well, anyway, so that means I'll be a little bit late to the chat room. You're welcome to go to the chat room, however, assuming your production machine isn't just grinding away. Hey, look, this thing's been running for about 4 or 5 years now, so I think we're probably ahead of the game. Anyhow, we'll get to some Prayer Meeting Wednesday stuff. We most assuredly will. And I will note, as I do always, that you are more than welcome in the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room. I'd love to tell you who's in there right now, but I can't see that because of the aforementioned production machine. Oh, the joys of independent broadcasting. Hey, that's why I was getting... Never mind, just technical stuff. It's Prayer Meeting Wednesday. It's the 7th day of January, but I said that, 2015. We are only 2 days away from the first anniversary of 300,000 people getting poisoned in 9 counties in West Virginia because freedom... Really, Freedom Industries. We had a freedom disaster. And we're probably 2 days and a little bit of change away from the first anniversary of the West Virginia Coal Association tweeting, "If it's good enough to wash coal, it's good enough to wash me." Yeah, charming lot, aren't they? But everybody knows what's on. Apparently, we can. I don't know. I hate to put it this way. That we can only talk about one subject at a time. And I suppose at some point in this evening we will get around to talking about what happened in Paris earlier today. The attack on the offices of Charlie Hebdo, a satirical or parody-ish newspaper that is, well... they pulled no punches. Charlie Hebdo did not. They have made fun of everyone and everything. If this comes across as selfish, I apologize. But when I first heard the news today of what had happened in Paris, my first thought was, oh, God. And it was, oh, God, for the horror that had been inflicted. But also, oh, God, because I knew that we would have another round of right-wing, of disgusting right-wing panic and sleaze and filth. Because that's how they operate. That the dead in the dead police officers and the dead in the Charlie Hebdo office would be used as Well, what dear leader said, dim leader said some years ago to catapult the propaganda. And if, assuming that this computer ever does settle back down, we will examine some of that. Sorry, it's cold, sneezing. There may be some of those kind of pauses, too. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Sometimes you just have to say, screw it, and hit the reset button. It happens. So, that's what I've just done. But at any rate, it's certainly out there. Also out there, however, a couple of stories a little closer to home, and a hell of a lot less reported upon, that seem to warrant our attention as much or more than the Paris story does. Because the Paris story, I don't view the Paris story as a story of modern terrorism. I view the story today out of Paris as another installment on hundreds, if not thousands, at least 2 years of barbarity that has been religiously driven. Mainly because that's if you take the long view of history, that's how it's been. You might recall that around the end of the first millennium of the Common Era, and into the beginning of the second one, about 1,000 years ago, the European religious maniacs decided that they wanted to start a war in the Middle East. This they then did. We call it the Crusades. Nothing good came of it. Absolutely nothing good came of the Crusades. And this is another... this is another installment on that butcher's bill. We just have multiple butcher's bills, is all. But there are two stories that are out there for our consideration, and I hope you'll forgive me for, well, one, there's a technical reason for why we don't have the bells and whistles of prayer meeting Wednesday. But secondly, while I've got prayer meeting Wednesday fodder to get us through an entire 3-hour program, something in me says that kind of falderall and the fun that we have with it is better dealt with later. Maybe we'll tuck it into Thorn in the Side Thursday or something. Because there are two stories of domestic terrorism. And hint, it wasn't perpetrated by any lefties or progressives or liberals, because after all, most of the terrorism that is perpetrated in this country never is. It's not perpetrated by liberals or progressives or lefties. Most terrorism in the United States, or attempts at terrorism, is perpetrated by people who see violence as a legitimate means of achieving political ends. Most of us on the left tend to ascribe to, at least many of us, I know I do, tend to ascribe to, or subscribe, adopt, what have you, Dr. King's tenets of nonviolence. Sorry, at the same time I'm talking, I'm changing out tanks on the little portable propane heater, because if I don't keep this thing going, it's going to get frigid in here in a straight up hurry. All better now. Computer's still grinding away, but at least we've got heat going again. My feet are planted firmly upon the Horn Studio rubberized heat mat. That helps considerably. Let me check in. Just checking an email real quick. We have two cases to discuss this evening of domestic terrorism. One we mentioned last night. At the time of at airtime last night, all the news stories I was seeing said it may have been an explosive, possible, blah, blah, blah. Well, it seems to be a for certain thing now. It didn't lead the news. The minute what happened in Paris happened, everybody, to the extent that they even knew this, forgot about it. Colorado Springs, Colorado, where our good friend Kevin resides, recently back home from a holiday visit. Colorado Springs, Colorado, home to the United States Air Force Academy, which has been, by virtue of the efforts of the religion industry, turned into a nest of fundamentalist vipers. Colorado Springs, Colorado, home to organizations like Focus on the Family, and Dr. James Dobson. Remember, he's the one who wants children to be beaten until they cry real tears. Well, another organization present in Colorado Springs, Colorado, is the NAACP. Nothing nearly as fancy as the monumental campus of, say, Focus on the Family. But there is an office there, and there is a Colorado Springs, Colorado chapter of the NAACP. And yesterday, in fact, a pipe bomb went off against an exterior wall of their Colorado Springs headquarters. The person who was attempting murder had placed a can of gasoline next to the pipe bomb, but according to the FBI, the gasoline didn't ignite, which is probably why this was not a greater disaster and did not result than it was and did not result in loss of life. It is being described as an improvised explosive device. Inside the offices, the explosion rattled things around a bit, and some stuff got knocked off walls. Shortly thereafter, the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force, as well as the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, showed up on scene to examine and investigate the damage. There was a loud boom a little bit before 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. According to Gene Sutherland, owner of Mr. G's Hair Design Studio in the same building, the explosion was so loud and so forceful that some plastic containers fell off the shelf in his salon. Henry Allen Jr. is the chapter president of the NAACP in Colorado Springs, Colorado. He said, "We'll move on. This won't deter us from doing the job we want to do in the community." Meanwhile, Special FBI Agent Amy Sanders said, "We don't know if the NAACP or a business in the vicinity was the intended target." Yeah, I guess not. Go figure. That's a terrorist bombing. The FBI is looking for a person of interest, a suspect. A potential person of interest, of course, a white male, balding, about 40 years old. He may be driving a 2000 or older model dirty white pickup truck with paneling, a dark-colored bedliner, open tailgate, and a missing or covered license plate. That according to the FBI. Whew, talk about round up the usual suspects, huh? But we can make an educated guess of who it wasn't. Although when you're talking about angry, balding, white males with homicidal tendencies and probably right-wing associations, well, it's a fairly large demographic now, isn't it? So, Now, what I mean by we've got a pretty good idea maybe who it wasn't. Well, there is a deeply underreported story out from the last day or so. It's been reported in only two newspapers. The Rome, Georgia newspaper and another paper called the Rome News Tribune and the Northwest Georgia News. I have the Northwest Georgia News story before me. It was dated yesterday. Heater went out. That could pose a problem later on. No, Northwest Georgia News reporting yesterday the arraignment of three, look, it's a balding middle-aged white guy, another balding middle-aged white guy, and look, here's a middle-aged white guy with some hair and glasses and a beard, not yet balding. Three Rome, Georgia men accused of conspiring to obtain explosives now face a much more serious domestic terrorism charge, conspiracy to use weapons of mass destruction. Terry Eugene Peace, because the goddess of irony never takes the night off. Brian Edward Cannon. She really outdid herself this time. And Corey Robert Williamson. This past Monday, the 5th of January, waived arraignment and entered a plea of not guilty in federal court to charges of domestic terrorism as well as a charge of conspiring to defraud the government. The indictment and the criminal complaint allege that Messrs. Peace Cannon, and Williamson engaged in online discussions between January 23rd and February the 15th, 2014, and that those discussions were monitored by the FBI. Interestingly, none of the three defendants were ever heard to utter the words Allah Akbar or say anything Muslim-y at all. No, instead, Peace Cannon and Williamson carried on discussions about using guerrilla war tactics. And they made plans to attack a police station in metropolitan Atlanta, as well as several government agencies in the same in the city. The complaint also alleges that they tried to recruit other members to their cause. Oh, by the way, Peace Cannon and Williamson are all members of a militia. The plan, according to Peace, was to target roadblocks, TSA checkpoints, sheriff's police conducting operations outside the Constitution, and the removal of government people who support extra-constitutional activities. Do not think this is not a serious case because I use the silly southern cornpone accent. This is, in fact, deadly serious. Because they were being observed by the FBI, about a year ago, February, they took a road trip from Rome, Georgia, up to Tennessee Stand for a meeting with an undercover FBI informant. Their goal was to obtain explosive devices. You know, something maybe like what got used in Colorado Springs yesterday. Right? They were looking for a dozen pipe bombs for that had been built for maximum fragmentation, as well as a thermite mix charge. February 15, 2014, the three white guys were arrested in Cartersville, Georgia, when they thought they were taking delivery of the explosives, which turned out to be dummies like them. So there you have it. Another example, and God knows there are plenty of them, some in greater states of, more advanced states of preparation than others, but another example of the degree to which there is an undeclared civil war in this country, or what I've referred to in the past as a cold civil war. Hopefully, a word to the wise is sufficient. I have no doubt that these men were some variety of Christian, because these militia movements always, always delineate themselves as being Christians. But there won't be any breathless reporting on Fox about these characters. Of course not. Because all of Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda's time is going to be reserved for screaming about the Muslims. Right? Right. Doubt me? Of course you don't. Oh, yay, I'm finally in the chat room. At 26 minutes past the first hour of the program. Good evening to Callie Liberal and Anatole and Carol Abel. Good evening, Devin and Gerald and John and Jugapunch and Kelly and Kenner Gen X, Michael and Sentient and Texas T and Tim from L.A. Good evening to our inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators, Lottie and Sparky. And, yes, you too can be part of the group. All you have to do is go to headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and jump right in, and, well, there you are. That's a fine group we've got going on in there. Hey, there's Blake and Madison. Glad to have y'all along. Ah, thank you very kindly, Jeremy. Loud and clear on TuneIn. Appreciate it. We have a team of monitors who let me know when whether or not the stream is streaming correctly. Oh, dear. Well, I guess we're going to whisper this one into the ear of the universe now. Asa in Vancouver saying, I wonder if Radio TV Rwanda is going to report the NAACP bombing as the NCAA bombing. There is every possibility indeed. Sheesh. No, seriously, let's go. Like I said, when I heard the news, I felt almost nauseated thinking about the hay that would be made out of the attack in Paris by the bloodthirsty idiots at Fox. And say what you will about them, they don't disappoint.
And there's video where these guys got out of their getaway car, their assault rifles in hand, and they executed a police officer on the streets of Paris today. We're coming back to the couch now. Eric, earlier you had said, you had kind of made a comparison to what's going on there and what's happening here in New York City. Can you reset with that?
Yeah. So you're taking a law
Bowling,
enforcement
idiot.
Tool out of their hands. You're in New York, what's going on? One of the first things Mayor de Blasio did here was he said, we want to pull stop and frisk, which means, you know, in deference to the Fourth Amendment, unreasonable searches and seizures. They said it was unreasonable to profile African Americans or anyone for that matter and just say, hey, what are you doing? Let me see your ID. Let me talk to you. They pushed back on that. Problem is that was finding a lot of crimes. Some say misdemeanor crimes. Point is, why are we pulling law enforcement tools out of their their hands. Why are we taking that away? This should be a test case for New York City or any major city or any city for that matter. This office was targeted in 2006. Mm-hmm. It was targeted in 2011. A couple of weeks ago, it was targeted saying there's credible threats against this office. They put cops in front of the office.
Yeah.
But they put cops with handguns. Maybe some didn't even have handguns. There are reports that mm-hmm. some didn't even have.
Now, I introduced this clip as coming from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. I would assume that, and there I go again, but I would presume that you would understand that that means get out the hockey puck. Did you catch that? Those poor French policemen only had handguns. Right. No, those poor French policemen were ambushed. I think, didn't we have almost this very conversation a couple of nights ago? When somebody decides to start shooting at you, your best bet, your only hope is that you don't get hit. And that then you can return fire. Well, these police officers got hit. Sidearm or bazooka, it didn't make much difference. Unless, of course, Eric Bolling, man, he would have been great on Titanic Tuesday yesterday, Titanic intellect that he is, unless Eric Bolling just wants the police to start shooting people and asking questions later. Unfortunately, I think he probably does. But we're not even to the good part yet.
A gun. These guys walked up heavily armed and blew away 12 people, walked out of there unscathed. Here's the point. There's been a very serious push from the left saying, let's not over-militarize our cops.
Mm-hmm.
That should put an end to that discussion right now. We should over-militarize. We should continue to do that. One last thought. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's right. What we need is more militarized police. I say we put them in Abrams tanks. And now, granted, it'll be a little hard on the pavement of, say, Broadway or 42nd Street or Park Avenue. But, you know, listen, New York, don't you want to feel safe? I mean, if a couple of guys wearing ski masks jump out of a Citroën, don't you want the guys in the tank to be able to just shoot the car before they even know what's going on? Because, see, freedom. Wolverines! God damn the stupid. This dumb bastard's actually arguing for pre-crime. Yeah, we need to militarize the police. F the Constitution. See, that's... This is one of those moments when you understand that the people running the show and pulling the strings, and whoever has his hand up Eric Bolling's butt making his mouth work, they don't give a tinker's damn for constitutional liberties. They talk about it, but they don't. Eric Bolling wants to live in a military dictatorship where there's a cop who's armed to the teeth on every corner. And state your business, citizen. May I see your papers? Your papers are not in order. You will have to come with me. And, of course, that way lies fascism. Do continue.
No.
After 9/11, I was in the building in 9/11. Right after 9/11, there was the New York City cops, what they did.
Bloody shirt.
They did these shows of force. Heavily armed cops mm-hmm. would walk around mm-hmm. buildings. They'd show up anywhere. 12 cop cars would line up. They'd get out with the full body gear, with the machine guns, ready just to show the bad guys they're there. Mm-hmm. That's kind of gone away. Maybe it's time to bring it back.
Maybe it's time to bring it back. An obvious if P then Q attack happens in Paris, and suddenly Eric Bolling wants phalanxes of armed-to-the-teeth police officers just randomly jumping out of cars to show the bad guys they mean business. Won't that actually just show the bad guys where the phalanxes of the cops are so that... Oh, what? Intimidating.
Why? No, I don't want to, it's not a police state, it's a safe state.
Let me just make one point about the militarization.
It's not a police state, it's a safe state. No, it's not safe. Not at all. And it is certainly not a constitutional state. It's a fascist state. But we're well on our way to that anyway. Remember, these goobers in Georgia were going to go after TSA checkpoints, and they were going to go after extra-constitutional activities. Of course, they themselves being the definers of what extra-constitutional was. And guess what? These goobers in Georgia got caught, and they're being handled by the judicial system as they should be. But they got caught. What was it that the dim leader maladministration used to tell us? They only have to get it right once in a while, the terrorists, but we have to get it right every time. I'm not trying to scare anybody or make anybody nervous or get anybody to run and hide under the bed or anything, but the fact is we have a right wing in this country. I can guarantee it. I guarantee it that somewhere in the United States this evening there are some middle-aged white men who are sitting around over whatever, or they're in an internet chat room, or they're at the bowling alley. You know, because it's hard for them, it's hard for the FBI microphones to hear over the sounds of the crashing of the pins, don't you know? And they're talking about how that Obama's done shredded our Constitution and how something need to be done. Because freedom is dying in America. How do they know? Rush Limbaugh told them. How do they know? Glenn Beck told them. How do they know? Sean Hannity told them. How do they know? Bill O'Reilly told them. How do they know? Mark Levin told them. How do they know? Michael Savage told them. How do they know? How do they know? How do they know? How do they know? Because the right wing spends day after day after day after day fulminating this filth. Let's get something abundantly clear. The boys in Georgia, and like I said, this story has been reported only in two newspapers in Georgia. Alternet picked it up, and that's where I found it. But just two newspapers in Georgia. It didn't make the Rachel Maddow show, did it? Did it make Chris Hayes? And I'm not being critical, it just didn't. Did it make the ABC Evening News, CBS, NBC? You know they're not talking about any middle-aged white guys with bombs on Fox. They weren't Muslim. Only Muslims have bomb plots. Because freedom. But these right-wing militias have more in common with the kinds of people who shoot up newspaper offices than most of us dare even imagine. Because they are fundamentalists of one form or another. And because the problem, you know how I feel about religion, it's a way that many of us feel. I think it does more harm than good. I think it is largely toxic. And at best, benign. Or not benign, but it's a wash, let's put it that way. The people who are religious and good would be good even if they weren't religious. But it's the fundamentalism. And it can be fundamentalist Islam, it can be fundamentalist Baptists, it can be fundamentalist Mormons, it can be fundamentalist Hindus, fundamentalist Jains, it can be fundamentalist Jews. Because they all exist, and they all share in common a horrifying fear of reality, and especially modernity. If you sat those good old boys down from Georgia, sat them down with the people who shot up Charlie Hebdo's offices, and you could keep their hands off of each other's necks for 15 minutes, by the end of the second 15 minutes, they'd be all shucksing and hooting and hollering and tapping each other on the back because they'd realize how much they had in common. Don't you think? Yeah. Back to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda.
They're there. Mm-hmm. That's kind of gone away. Maybe it's time to bring it back.
You want to live in a police state, though?
No, I mean, it's not a police state.
Okay,
it's
let me,
a safe state.
Let me just make one point about the militarization of police, because I've always been very pro-law enforcement. And I think that cops should have all sorts of tools and technology, but they shouldn't see us as the enemy. You know, we are not the enemy. We are not people there hunting or combating.
She'd like for him to have sharks with frickin' laser beams, by the way.
But that's the difference between the military and the police. And if you talk to police officers, they'll agree there has to be a difference. There has to be a line. Your police department should not look like your armed forces.
So
and that's the point of that. And I don't want cops walking around heavily armed. And
right. That's true. That's true.
Well, but I understand
that
after
9/11. We are being hunted.
Yeah.
We are being hunted. Okay? ISIS has made it very clear. These guys are making it very clear when they enter that newspaper's offices.
Yeah.
Lady, you're not in Paris. But Emery and Eileen, Arlie and Marveline, out there in the Barca loungers in flyover country. I live in flyover country, you know. They're sitting there watching us. Like, we are being hunted. So yeah. Marveline, I sure do hate to think about you being hunted. Well, but Fox says we are.
We're here to get you. We are being hunted, so how would you...
Wait, what? ISIL is already here to get us? Has anybody told Senator Lindsey Graham Cracker? It's going to get us all killed! Being hunted, they've told us. What what do they use for the right winger call? Benghazi. IRS. What? Bang. No.
Like for us to be protected? What message do you want to send?
I think the best thing that Americans can do is arm themselves.
Me too.
Can we do a high five?
But you can't do that.
No. The best thing Americans can do is arm themselves, and then they high five each other. Stupid. It hurts us. Pity Ferg's not back here. He does a great golem. But it does. It's painful. Because golly jeepers, if we've all just got guns, well, that'll sure keep the terrorists away. I mean, if only there'd been more guns in New York City, somebody could have shot down those airliners before they hit the Twin Towers. Wolverines! Because it's there in the movie. That's where the line comes from. Because the boy's standing there, and he's just a blasting away with his AK-47 at the attack helicopter coming at him. Mm-hmm. Note coming in from Ron in Raleigh. Hey, Bob. What do you think would happen if a phalanx of heavily armed police rolled out into the white suburbs? You think they would think they were safe or in a police state? P.S., says Ron. Man, white people are pissing their pants scared. And it is mostly white folks that are scared. I mean, I guess we can do a check-in with communities of color to see if because when you've been terrorized for 400 years, I'm guessing you just kind of learn to live life and take whatever precautions you can. But you're not out there screaming for the government to park an Abrams tank at the end of the block like these. Everybody just needs to get a gun. Jesus. But again, the best part has not yet happened, because the attack blonde has not yet spoken.
City, you're not even, dude. It's this.
Yeah,
it,
yeah. I live in D.C. where it's really, really difficult.
New
York cops, I don't feel like they look at me as the enemy. I feel like New York cops, of all the cops in this country, you can.
And that's Kennedy, what's her name, from last night. She says, I don't feel like New York cops look at me as the enemy. Sister, they probably don't. You're making a healthy salary. You're delivered by limousine to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda studios every morning. And you have the right color skin. You see, back when Eric Bolling was talking about how Stop and Frisk was such a rousing success and keeping America, keeping New York City safe. Well, pasty-faced, doughy white women were not the ones being stopped and frisked. It was just people with that melanin enhancement. Because we all know that's where the trouble comes from. Oh, wait, here it comes. Here it comes. It's like a train in the distance.
Go up to them and have a conversation.
You're not a bad guy, though.
You're not a bad guy, though, because the cops just automatically know who the bad guys are, and that's why you get the numbers you get out of Stop and Frisk, right?
If I'm a bad guy, I see a heavily armed cop on the corner, I may decide not to do the bad thing I was thinking about doing.
Sometimes bad guys...
And what sort of bad things do you think about doing, Eric Bullard? What kind of... Oh, Kennedy Montgomery, yes. Eric Bolling, what kind of bad things are in your mind? Do you need a spanking, Eric? I want to do bad things, Mommy. Bad things, man. Yeah.
Don't look like bad guys.
Well,
right,
that's
my question about these guys, because if we know they were speaking
This is the attack blonde. Strap in. Use an extra trip around with the duct tape. Get a real good bite down on the hockey puck. Here it comes.
If I'm a bad guy, I see a heavily armed cop on the corner, I may decide not to do the bad thing I was thinking about doing.
Sometimes bad guys don't look like bad guys.
Well, right, and that's my question about these guys, because if we know they were speaking unaccented French and they had, you know, ski masks on, do we even know what color they were? What the tone of...
How could we tell they were bad guys? We couldn't see if they were dark-skinned or not. And she knows she stepped in it. This is just almost cute.
Not to do the bad thing I was thinking about doing.
Sometimes bad guys don't look like bad guys.
Well, right, that's my question about these guys, because if we know they were speaking unaccented French and they had, you know, ski masks on, do we even know what color they were, what the tone of their skin was? I mean, what if they didn't look like typical bad guys, as we define them when we think about terror groups?
know what color they were. I mean, they couldn't tell. I mean, as we define bad guys, I didn't mean like they all have to. Oh shit. Yeah, she did, Michael, in the chat room. Wow, did she just blatantly admit it? I want to hear that again. This reminds me of the night when I was a kid, when the midnight guy on the local radio station got all liquored up and decided to just play Stairway to Heaven time after time after time. Yeah. I don't want to hear that again.
Sometimes bad guys don't look like bad guys.
Well, that's my question here. About these guys, because if we know they were speaking unaccented French and they had, you know, ski masks on, do we even know what color they were, what the tone of their skin was? I mean, what if they didn't look like typical bad guys?
Because, you know, you can always tell the bad guys by the tone of their skin and the quality of their French. Which makes me wonder. I do. I wonder how good the Peace Cannon guys, Williamson. Peace Cannon Williamson. Almost sounds like a law firm, doesn't it? Peace Cannon Williamson. Wonder how their French was. Makes you wonder, well, at least we know that none of the 9,000 students attending 32 charter schools in New York City who will no longer have foreign language instruction will never be terrorists because they will not speak unaccented French. That... I mean, we're only 7 days, 7 days into 2015, and Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, and this random attack blonde have already given us a quote to carry us through maybe the whole year. I mean, what if they're not the right color to be terrorists, huh?
Even know what color they were, what the tone of their skin was. I mean, what if they didn't look like typical bad guys, as we define them when we think about terror groups?
Well, that's why this issue in New York is.
You know what that pause was? You know, everybody on that set's got an IFB in their ear. It's that little thing that fits down your ear canal, and they try to keep it from being too terribly visible. But that pause was somebody in her ear going, "What?" Or maybe just, "Oh, wow." Let's see how much it fits in there. Let's see how much speech you can.
Was, I mean, what if they didn't look like typical bad guys?
Really?
As we define them when we think about terror groups.
Well, that's why this issue in New York is so important, because if there is a police force in the nation that has figured out better than any other force how to blend in with its citizenry.
Oh, yeah, you blend. That, of course, is Andrea Tanteros, the Fox News TV Radio Rwanda genius who thinks that Eric Holder runs the Department of Justice like the Black Panthers. And the police force just blends in New York. All right. Because nobody would ever suspect that somebody wearing a blue uniform and driving a white car marked police were the police. Oh, you could not write this and pass this. You could not write this stuff and make it part of a script for a sitcom and get away with it. In Hollywood. Ah, no, that's just stupid. I mean, this could... I mean, they did some on Seinfeld. This could not pass muster.
And become part of the population and not be the enemy, it's the NYPD.
Yeah.
I mean, they are an exemplary organization of individuals.
You know, when they're not choking people to death for not selling Lucy's. or sodomizing someone with a broom handle, or shooting an innocent person more than 40 times. Yeah. This is restaurant quality. Ray with a question. Has France surrendered yet? That's usually what they do 6 hours after they're attacked. No, actually they haven't. They haven't surrendered. And that's not what they usually do. In point of fact, France has been active in attempts at terrorism suppression, especially in their former colonial areas in on the African continent. Mali comes to mind. They are, as Barack Obama noted today, President Obama, they are the oldest ally that the United States has. Not Britain, France. George Washington was not much of a general. And our revolutionary troops, not much in the way of an army. But having the French Navy off of Yorktown was enough to convince the British that maybe it was time to just let us go. The French promulgated the Declaration of the Rights of Man before we published. Oh, no, maybe we published. I'm not sure. But they were there trying to follow the Enlightenment, arguably before us. Have they surrendered yet? Oh, we got more. And we've got some, sure enough, no kidding, prayer meeting stuff. Maybe we'll go to the prayer meeting stuff out of the break. In the meantime, of course, the phone lines are also open. Area code 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178 is the first line. The second line, the Gizmo line, is area code 304-663-4676. Area code 304-663-4676. That spells Horn, H-O-R-N. Yeah. This is Conversation Radio. And Conversation Radio on the Horn is, in fact, listener-supported. We had a tough fundraising night last night. We pulled up $110 short. That means that we have a $260 fundraising goal this evening. And hopefully it would be nice to take a bite out of that. A big chunk, in point of fact, so that bills can continue to be paid. So a little break, and then we've got two phone lines waiting. We'll get right to them. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The laws to abide. And in the land that I live in has God on its side. Oh, the history books tell it. They tell it so well. The cavalry chose and the Indians fell. The cavalry chose. God on its side. Well, the Spanish American War, it had its day. And the Civil War too, it was soon. We'll be right back.
puts everything in perspective, doesn't it? With God on our side. This is The Horn. It is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and going straight to, well, almost straight to the phones, directly to the phones. Quick note coming in from Robert in Australia. Subject line, bad guys? How simplistic is this discussion? Good guys and bad guys? Well, that's, Robert, that's the most that the average Fox News TV Radio Rwanda can conceptualize. They don't do nuance. They don't do shades of gray, Robert. They do black and they do white. They do bad and they do good. They were spoon-fed the concept of evildoers for 8 years by dim leader. Robert continues, how about all the good guys wear white hats and all the bad guys wear black hats? Well, see, they were wearing black in Paris today. That's how it is. How about these dim guys discuss U.S. foreign policy and how it's the cause of this mess? Robert says, I'm so glad I don't have cable. And the French, Robert adds, aren't surrender monkeys, an expression I've heard on U.S. TV programs. At the start of World War II, they were overrun by the Germans using tactics the French military was not expecting. Those French troops who escaped continued to fight on, as did the French people. God, the stupid hurts us as well. Thank you, Robert. Thank you. And away to the phone lines. Hey, Carol.
Oops. Hey there. Sorry. I thought you were going to go to the other line first.
No. You. I do it in the order they come in, and you got in first.
I don't usually call them twice in 1 week.
That's okay.
I can't stop screaming, fuck!
I know. It's been a kind of a day.
And I can't, I can't chew on hockey pucks anymore because my teeth have about had it.
Well, right. The spring back kind of, I think you can get TMJ if you do it too much.
It's not that. It's just that I don't want to look like the yokels.
Blend. Wait. You don't want to blend in Hooterville like the NYPD do in New York?
I do not.
Oh, okay. Just, okay.
Has been killed and the other two are in custody.
Hey, time out, Carol. Do me a favor. I'm going to, I might lose you for a second. If I do, call me right back, okay?
I will.
I'm gonna solve this internet problem that we had again.
Okay.
Stand by.
Okay.
Do I still have you?
No, I'm still here.
Awesome. Hey, I didn't know I could do that.
Shit happens.
And call quality just went right up.
Cool.
Excellent.
I can actually hear you better too.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the interruption, but there's something problematic about our main internet connection, and so I just switched you over to the cellular wireless internet connection, which is makes
well,
things
it's
everything
not better. Exactly like I'm calling in on any sort of a high speed.
No, but I've never had connectivity problems until recently, so I was pretty sure it was me and not you.
Well, word has it that one of the suspects in the Paris attack has been killed and the other two are in custody. Authorities identified the three men as Saeed Kouchai and Sharif Kouchai. Both of them are French nationals in their early 30s. And 18-year-old Hamid Mourad, whose nationality wasn't immediately clear, but needless to say, they don't sound, you know, of the Caucasian persuasion.
Right.
The Associated Press reported that the men were linked to a Yemeni terrorist network. Sharif Kouchai was convicted in 2008 of terrorism charges for helping funnel fighters into Iraq's insurgency and sentenced to 18 months in prison. They don't tell which one of them got killed and which two are still alive. And, of course, we don't know a whole lot of anything any more than we ever know a whole lot of anything right after one of these things happen. And I know it's not a popular thing, but I like to get things right. And so I only like to talk about what we know. And right now we don't know shit.
Yeah. We know what happened, why it happened, how it happened, who happened it. We know the names of the dead. Or the French know the names of the dead.
But plenty of people run in their mouths.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, did you love the clip from, I mean, not love, but
It was standard Fox News fare. Plenty of race baiting, you know, God, guns, and, you know, gays. It's got to be one of the three or a combination of any of them. And we don't talk about the bombing of the NAACP thing because, you know, that was just one disturbed individual or it was a lone wolf, you know. And all the white guys who do it all look alike. At the risk of sounding like a racist. But they do. They do really all look alike. They all look like Cletus.
Yeah. And like I said, the story coming out of Georgia appeared in two newspapers. Has it been picked up by the AP? Has it been Reuters? Anybody? Bueller?
Why report on it? It was just the wrong colors, you know. This is like the 60s. What's one more church bombing?
Well, no, but okay, so that's that. I'm talking about the three guys in Georgia.
Oh.
I mean, and we've got pictures of them.
Yeah.
Mugshots.
Yeah.
And they look like any Bubba that you'd expect to see, just about any Bubba anywhere, Bubba USA.
Mm-hmm.
And they blend right in, Carol.
I know. And they're all straight out of the Clive and Bundy playbook.
Mm-hmm. Take out anybody engaging in extra-constitutional activity.
Of course, they don't want to define what extra-constitutional activity is because, you know, we wouldn't want to narrow that down.
Well, it's whatever they say it is.
Well, I agree with that. It's definitely a moving goalpost as we go, but I just find it all frustrating that whole mess that took place in Nevada and those guys stood there and pointed long guns at law enforcement who were just doing their job, and that's a bad thing. And these are the same people that show up in Ferguson and foment terror, which is what they're doing when they're on rooftops with loaded weapons threatening people of color of the community.
Right, and bear in mind that these three coots in Georgia were doing their deal. Now, this was their arraignment today.
Yeah.
Okay, January 2015. They were actually busted in February 2014, which is pre-Cliven.
Uh-huh.
There, and do you remember it was right after the Kenyan Muslim usurper first took office that the Department of Justice released that domestic terrorism report? Remember that one?
I remember.
And you remember the right-wing hissy? Well, they're saying that white peoples can be terrorists. That's unmarking. And of course it was immediately the fault of the Kenyan Muslim usurper, but the problem being that the report had been ordered by the Bush administration, who at least had the common good sense to know that this country has a right wing terrorist problem.
Of course they do. Before I got online, it took me a while to get online. I was chatting on the phone with Mark Potok from the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Oh, really?
Yes, smart guy.
Very.
And I was talking to him about this very thing, and they can deny it all they want, but, you know, these militia groups are nothing more than Klansmen, you know, wrapped in a flag and toting their Bibles and talking all this stuff. They're
militarized John Birchers, too.
Yeah. And while they don't all necessarily believe this, yeah, they kind of do believe the same thing, but Birchers have a tendency to be a little more, true Birchers have a tendency to be a little bit more fluent.
Yeah, well, and they even take a run at cerebral.
Yeah, they do. I mean, even though everything they say is bullshit, but... And this whole idea of not addressing it. If you're Middle Eastern and you're swarthy looking, then you're automatically a terrorist. And if you're black, then you're just automatically a thug. But if you're white, you're either mentally disturbed or it's a lone wolf.
Right. And none of these people, even when they admit that they are, none of these people are ever driven to this by the constant steady stream of bilious hate that flows out of the mouths of Beck and Hannity and the rest of the usual suspects.
Even though those people that get caught cite those very people as their idealistic...
Well, as their direct inspiration.
Of course.
I noticed our mutual friend Aaron had a post today about these very same this very same topic, and lo and behold, she mentioned the guy who went on who set out to attack the Tides Foundation after having had Glenn Beck drill it into his brain for weeks on end that the Tides Foundation was going to destroy America.
And there's Glenn Beck holding up his hands, going, "It wasn't me. I didn't tell him to do it. I never said anything, you know, to tell people to do, you know, violent things. I've never done that." Bill O'Reilly will tell you the same thing. And somehow, you know, Benghazi. I've already heard them on Fox News today talking about how this is all Obama's fault.
Yes.
President Blackenstein has already been laid to blame.
Well, it's also Mayor de Blasio's fault.
Well, you know, he's not a wrong color. He just, you know, lets them in their house, in his house, marries them, provides half the DNA for some of them.
And there, I mean, there's big stuff, Carol, and there's little stuff. I mean, here's one that kind of all runs under the radar. But let's imagine a couple of people who are just out on a bus, you know, public transport, public transit, in San Francisco, for God's sakes. And it turned out it was a transgender couple.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray Rauchy was out with Samantha Hulsey. They were on the bus, and... all of a sudden, this weird guy called him Fagoots.
Yeah.
Started threatening them, hollered that they had defrauded him by pretending to be female. They had no relationship with this guy whatsoever. And so they got off the bus at the next available stop. He gets off and follows them. And stabs the 24-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And then stabs her again.
Because he personally is so sexually insecure that just they're, by virtue of them being.
Well, yeah, and because there is in this country a steady stream of hatred directed toward that community. Gordon Klingenschmidt. Family Research Council, any right-winger who's ever worried about what's going to happen in the potty, I think we've had that discussion.
We have.
And the police arrested the guy. But there's no word yet on whether it's going to be investigated as a hate crime. But I guess the argument that I'm making, Carol, is that these things don't happen in a vacuum.
No,
they don't happen by accident. People don't just get up in the morning and say, "I'm going to, oh, I don't know, try to get bombs to protect America against extra constitutional activity." They don't just wake up in the morning and say, "You know what I'm going to do today? Today I'm going to pipe bomb the NAACP headquarters."
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, when... How many of these white wingers can we list as having perpetrated some form of terrorism in this country, and then you find, you know, one guy who's Muslim? But the right wing wants us to be on the lookout for the, you know, the people who look like bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is prayer meeting Wednesday. Didn't Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi, have something to say about how we treat people that we don't think? I mean, isn't there a parable out there about the good Samaritan, and we understand that the Samaritans were people that the really good, law-abiding, upstanding Jews of that time wouldn't even touch for fear that they would be defiled?
Bob, it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and I'm going to have to stop you right there and correct something. Now, Brother Pat Robertson made it very clear that it was, we need to be afraid of the dark-skinned people, because it was the dark-skinned people who historically do bad things, starting with killing white Jesus, which is a miracle in and of itself, because, I mean, he must have been, what, the only fucking white guy in 5,000 miles?
I'm assuming he was an albino.
And he was killed by
made him easier to catch. Kind of stood out in the crowd.
Yeah, and he was killed by the Romans?
Yes.
And the Romans were dark-skinned?
Not particularly.
I was sitting there reading that today going, I just don't understand why this man is not in an insane asylum instead of doing a rerun of The Grifters on television every day.
you'll be pleased to know that that's not all he's had to say of late.
Okay, hit me.
You are so not ready for this.
Go ahead. I fired up a cigarette. Help yourself.
All right. So, well, I was gonna drag you kicking and screaming around to this later at some point in our conversation. Anyway. Because I noticed on your Facebook post, when you posted on Facebook earlier today about the sentencing of Bob McDonnell.
Oh, I was pissed.
and just because of the weird way my mind works, you saw what I latched onto immediately.
Why, of course.
Do you happen to have the sentencing quote from the honorable federal judge?
As a matter of fact, I do.
White guy, what's his name? White guy J. Misogynist?
This was the judge speaking to Governor McDonald yesterday when handing down the prison sentence. It breaks my heart, but I have a duty I can't avoid, Judge Spencer said in handing down the punishment. Mrs. McDonald may have allowed the serpent into the mansion, but the governor knowingly let him into his personal and business affairs. And here was my response. When was the last time a judge sentenced a black defendant to prison? And his opening words were, "It breaks my heart, but I have a duty I can't avoid." It usually goes something more like, "You're a stain upon society, and it gives me great pleasure to sentence you to the maximum allowed by law." See, because mercy sentences accompanied by apologies are for rich fucking white boys. And sadistic sentences with cruel admonishments are reserved for the wrong coloreds and the poors.
Yeah, I've never heard. It grieves me. I'll tell you what, Governor, it grieves me to have to send you to prison. Now I know that prosecutor don't really want 10 years for you because he knows you're a good, upright, and Christian man. No.
And after all, it was Eve.
Bingo. Because that was the part that I latched onto. Wait a minute. You got a federal judge sentencing a guy who was accepting bribes?
Yeah.
And he hauls out Original Sin and Eve?
Yeah. That was what I woke up reading this morning.
Okay, so you haven't completely hotboxed that cigarette right down to the nub yet, have you?
Oh, I got a whole pack. Good.
Because Brother Marion Robertson, former liquor supply officer, he's been quite active in the politics of the Old Dominion, seeing as how he's headquartered over there in Virginia Beachistan.
I heard he wrote an impassioned plea to the judge.
Did he really?
He did.
Well, he took to the airwaves today to explain just exactly how it was
that a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing graduate of his university could possibly go so wrong, Sister Carol. So very, very wrong. You strapped in?
Yeah.
Okay, smoke them if you got them.
I'm smoking them.
Here's the deal. Bob McDonnell was a potential candidate for the United States Senate. Turned out that he probably would have won in this last election because he was so well known if he'd been left alone. From there, he was a potential, I don't think they say presidential, I think he was a potential vice presidential contender. He was high on the list. He was a rising star in the Republican Party, and the Justice Department decided to go after him, and it was just terrible. And sure, he made mistakes. He's like Adam, you know. The Eve was the one that got seduced by the snake, but Adam ate the fruit. And I think Bob McDonald got seduced. His wife was into this anti-block thing that supposedly would be a cure-all from using tobacco.
Kicking furniture yet?
No, I'm sitting over here laughing, having another cigarette.
That's just precious. Everything would have been great if that Justice Department would have just left him alone.
That's right.
Just left him alone, not bothered him about all them bribes he was taking.
It was the demon for Chanda.
Indeed. It just reached right up and said, "Here, Bob. You vice presidential contender, you just reach right in here and grab this here Rolex that's mahoo-hoo." Right?
I'm sure that's how he took it on and off.
Jesus! Yeah.
Honey, could you squat and cough? I can't find my watch.
Match as hell! If I find my keys, we'll drive out! Sorry, that's a really terrible old punchline to a terrible old joke.
No, that's all right. I'm fine with it. I started it.
Jesus, God. Let's understand here. White guys can't just be guilty of shit. They have to be led into it by some sort of, I don't know, the plantation Matahari.
That's right. Jezebel.
If she hadn't wanted them vitamins to help her quit. And the vitamin, you'll notice that Pat's kind of squishy about explaining who the guy doing the bribing was, because the guy was a vitamin hustler.
And a white guy.
And meanwhile, Pat himself is a hustler of such products. It was not that long ago, well, okay, it was more like 8 years ago, that Pat was out there hustling, and I will never forget when Peter Godbold, oh my God, to hear Peter Godbold laugh. I'll never forget the evening that Peter Godbold told us about Pat Robertson's Sea of Galilee mud mask. That's right, ladies. For only $19.95, I'll send you a box of dirt. Guaranteed to come from the Sea of Galilee. Just mix it with a little holy water, put it on your face, and the wrinkles will fall away. It will be as though time itself has been removed from your visage. Sea of Galilee mud mask. He was hustling protein powders for. Didn't he brag once that he could leg press 700 pounds?
1 pound for every donor.
God Almighty. It's a wonderful world.
Well, you know, and Ken Cuccinelli got out of that whole deal unscathed.
Yeah, how did...
He just lost his election and quietly went away to farm for oysters, which is really funny for a guy who thinks that women are so evil, and he goes into a job where the product, when you open it up, looks like a Virginia.
Yeah, well, there's a reason some of us like those things on the half shelf.
The goddess of irony, as you say.
Yes, exactly.
I pray to the goddess of satire, but, you know.
Well, they're next-door neighbors. They share a wall.
They do.
But I... So...
But I think I was offended at the lightness of the sentence. You know, the jurors have spoken out about his sentence, and they are very upset that he essentially got a slap on the wrist. And
well, the trial lasted what, a month?
Yeah.
So that's a month that citizens tried and true of the Commonwealth of Virginia took out of their lives, messed up their families, screwed up their employment. God only knows what all, to sit and listen in a federal trial of a man who was so obviously up to his ears in graft and corruption, and they deliberated and they listened carefully and they evaluated the evidence and they came back and they said guilty, 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 guilty.
And the governor got an apology.
Wait, what?
And the governor got it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because it breaks the judge's heart, right.
Broke his heart to have to send such a good man.
Do you think the U.S. attorney would have asked for 10 years if... Because, see, all these things are controlled by federal sentencing guidelines now.
Yes, they are. And here's the thing, is that if Bob McDonald had been sentenced to 10 years, he wouldn't have gotten to go to Camp Cupcake for Boys. He'd have had to go to Bubba prison. And I kind of wanted him to, because I wanted him to understand why a transvaginal probe is like sexual assault.
Oh, he might have found that out there.
But he isn't, because I'm pretty sure he's going to get to go to Camp Cupcake for Boys because he got such a light sentence. You know, the white power structure is protecting him, so...
Well, I mean, that's, look, when you get 2 years out of 10, that's white privilege, too.
Damn right it is.
I mean, there's not going to, wherever he goes, it's not like there's going to be searchlights and guard towers and dogs and concertina wire. He'll be on his best behavior, and he'll have to wear some not particularly flattering coveralls.
Isn't that punishment enough?
Well, when you're good church people, yes.
You know, I have a friend who is a paralegal for an attorney in Virginia, and they represent a lot of indigent black men and a lot of prisoners who are asking for help in looking at their cases. They had one in particular. This poor guy was beaten so badly by prison guards and then denied health care. He's nearly blind, and they can't. He's in his 70s, and the state of Virginia doesn't feel that he's worthy of a compassionate release for a nonviolent crime. But, you know, he's one of the wrong colors, so his appeal was denied because he was too blind to fill out the paperwork. He didn't fill out the right form because he couldn't see to fill out the right form.
Oh, you mean his papers were not in order?
His papers were not in order.
You wonder if the person reviewing those things has a long cigarette holder that he or she holds between index finger and thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Monocles, perhaps?
Yes.
Jesus.
And I don't know who had 634, but that was my Hitler reference.
Oh, okay. Well, 7. We operate on the Eastern Standard Time, so 7:34. Right.
You can operate on whatever you want. But let me fly. I'm having a flashback here. You were talking about the terrorists in France and all of the bad things that the, you know, Muslims do because they're such barbarians. I just got done reading the that novel by Laura Hillenbrand called Unbroken, the Louis Zamperini story.
Right.
And because I wanted to see it before I went to the movie, because, you know, sometimes movies get a little mired down in emotional stuff and they miss a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm really kind of glad I did. And there was a part of me that kind of struggled through the bulk of the center of that book, which all kind of centered around the torture that he went through in the Japanese POW camp. I realized that it wasn't because she was belaboring something. It was because I'm a pacifist, and it personally pains me to hear about people being abused. So it was a matter of my discomfort, but I was glad I toughed it out and went through it, because as they were describing the beheadings and the other tortures and the number of prisoners that were killed, I realized how really inadequate my history had been. When I think of World War II, I think of Germany, and I think of all the atrocities that they rained down upon their own people. And I had no idea of the full measure of what went on in those Japanese POW camps and how many guys were in there and how many of them died.
Yes.
Of starvation and were murdered by their captors. And I'm a smarter, better person for having read that book and gotten through it. But I put it in a very modern context, you know, and they talk about those people didn't invent that.
No, no, you have to be carefully taught.
Yeah, you really do. And they
that's something that I've pointed out from time to time in when the conquistadors landed in Mesoamerica in what is now Mexico, mm-hmm. You know, they were shocked to see that people were being marched up the pyramids, having their hearts ripped out and the beating heart thrown into a bowl for the satisfaction of a deity. They had left a Spain and a Europe generally where people who ran afoul of the crown had their heads removed from their bodies, and in the case of England, for instance, the heads were displayed, spitted upon pikes on Tower Bridge.
Yep.
And in the cases of treason, their bodies were ripped apart, and there was lots of treason. You know, treason was whatever the monarch decided it was, that day, you know.
A little, like, extra-constitutional activity?
I guess you would call it that, yeah. And they would torture them alive, rip their guts out and show them to them, and eventually let them die and behead them and cut their body in four pieces and carry the four pieces to the farthest corners of the realm. This was called drawing and quartering. The Spanish, meanwhile, the people who had funded the adventure that wound up in Tenochtitlan, had going on at the time a little something called the Inquisition.
Yeah. Talk about fun.
And, of course, these were these were all practices that were visited, when the Crusaders finally captured Jerusalem in the Crusades.
Yeah.
They indiscriminately killed everybody, Muslim, Jew, Muslim, man, woman, child, didn't matter, slaughtered.
Yep.
In the name of Christ. And remember, every one of those crusaders had been told by Holy Mother Church that any sins that they committed would be automatically forgiven because they were taking back the Holy Land for Jebus.
Yeah.
This is the world of that conflict, okay? To say that somehow or another Islam has a lock on it, no. I think, and this is where I will probably run afoul of some people. And I don't even know if I want to say it, Carol. Charlie Hebdo was not a broadsheet that just put out something inflammatory about Muslims every day.
Right.
The newspaper was actually born as a publication called Harakiri.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they got themselves banned as a newspaper because they published a viciously satirical article. And, you know, our idea of satire over here cannot even begin to approach European notions of satire.
Exactly.
In Europe, if you're doing satire and it's not stomp snake mean, you're not trying.
That's right.
So they got themselves banned for publishing a viciously satirical article about the death of Charles de Gaulle on the day Charles de Gaulle died.
That's right.
And they have published published cartoons of popes wearing condoms and nuns masturbating.
Come on, tell me what's not fun about that.
See?
Did you notice how many American papers are refusing to publish any of the cartoons?
Oh, I looked around today and I couldn't find any.
Well, there's a reason. They're hitting all the cable shows explaining that they feel that even though they have a right to do it, it's not the right thing to do, and it will simply foment more terrorism.
Right, because the Muslims are crazy.
I'm sitting there going, what the fuck? Tell me that by not doing it, we're talking about a tiny, tiny slice of Islam who is responsible for this kind of behavior. And we're catering to that? We're kowtowing to that? Tell me that that isn't how the terrorists win.
Interesting you should bring that up.
Because I'm a giver.
You are a giver. So you know who Bill Donahue is, right?
Oh, that asshole from the Catholic whatever?
Yeah, the Catholic League is something he invented himself.
Yeah, like
it's like him. Like it's like him, one other person, and a fax machine or a computer.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's the guy that says there's no such thing as a pedophile priest, just predatory 10-year-olds.
Right.
Yeah, I know that guy.
So naturally, and I don't understand how the mind of for-profit media producers works. But somebody reached out to Bill Donahue as soon as news broke of the attacks in Paris.
Why?
Right. So naturally, Donahue lined up with the killers. Not kidding.
No, why should that shock me?
Charlie Hebdo had a long and disgusting record of mocking religious figures. While some Muslims today object to any depiction of the prophet, others do not. Moreover, visual representations of him are not proscribed by the Koran. What unites Muslims into anger against Charlie Hebdo is the vulgar manner in which Muhammad has been portrayed. What they object to is being intentionally insulted over the course of many years. On this aspect, I am in total agreement with them.
God, I want to kick that guy in the schnuts.
Stéphane Charbonnier, the paper's publisher, was killed today in the slaughter. It is too bad that he didn't understand the role he played in his own tragic death. In 2012, when asked why he insults Muslims, he said, Muhammad isn't sacred to me. Had he not been so narcissistic, he may still be alive. Muhammad isn't sacred to me either, but it would never occur to me to deliberately insult Muslims by trashing him. And then, of course,
he insulted Muslims.
Anti-Catholic artists in this country have provoked me to hold many demonstrations, but never have I counseled violence. This, however, does not empty the issue. Madison was right when he said liberty may be endangered by the abuses of liberty as well as abuses of power. Here's the interesting thing, though, Carol. Several years ago, a sculptor produced a big old sculpture of crucified chocolate Jesus.
Yeah.
And the only problem was, crucified chocolate Jesus was done in brown chocolate and not white.
I remember that.
And he wasn't wearing a white chocolate loincloth either, so his chocolate Jesus bits were there for all to see. Well, Bill Donahue whipped up the faithful so fervently that the artist, the sculptor, had to go into hiding because Bill Donahue's followers wanted and threatened to kill him.
Sounds like the Bill we know and despise.
I know Frank's busy, Carol. He's got a lot on his mind, what with climate change and a pretty stern New Year's warning about nuclear disarmament.
And helping the poors.
Some of whom are blah. He's a busy.
He is.
But do you think maybe we could get Frank to get out his special Popin stationery? You know, maybe just one of those little fold-over cards that says greetings from Rome or something. And it wouldn't take long. I mean, just get a cardinal to hand him a nice fountain pen. I imagine the Pope probably gets nice fountain pens. And just write him, get him to sit down there for a minute. Your Holiness, could you take care of this for a second? Well, certainly. This one's for Bill Donahue. Oh, I know just what to... Shut the fuck up!
Fuck up, exactly.
Frank, mail, God. Done.
You read my mind. You read my mind. Now then, I'm not going to belabor this evening because I'm sure there are a lot of people that want to talk to you, but last night you were asking about a city in Iowa.
Yes.
Took me a while and I figured out who you were talking about, where you were talking about.
Because I wasn't pronouncing it in Iowan, right?
You were not speaking Iowegian. The name of the town is Elkader. And I always assumed that it had something to do with, you know, elks. It's actually in northeast Iowa, probably about 50 miles from where I was born. A little town of about maybe, 1,200, 1,300. And that city is named after the Algerian leader Abd al-Qadir al-Jazairi. When the community was planted in 1846, the founders, Timothy Davis, John Thompson, Chester Sage, decided to name it for the young Algerian who was leading his people in resisting the French colonial takeover of Algeria.
Who knew that
these guys had a sense of social justice? Who knew?
Oh, no. Once upon a time, that shit was just busting out all over. I've delivered, and it's kind of pre your association with the program, but there was... When the Midwest began to be settled, and if we kind of look past, and you really can't, the genocide of the peoples who were living there, they arrived German, and they arrived Swede, and they arrived Norwegian and Finn, and they arrived, and they had this, they didn't want to be like the United States of the East Coast.
Exactly.
And they were fleeing the mid-century revolution of the middle of Europe that was brutally suppressed. And they brought actual notions of democracy to the United States and ideas of freedom. So when you place the founding of Elkader, Iowa, within that context, it's natural because he was a figure. Now, granted, today he would be considered, as the French considered him in the mid-1800s, a terrorist.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But to freedom-loving, democracy-adoring human beings settling the Midwest and hoping to set up democratic institutions of their own, he was a shining example.
Exactly. And if you ever get a chance to go to Elkader, you should go there. It's actually a beautiful, beautiful little town. And it sits right along the Turkey River. It looks almost identical to the town that I grew up in. Doesn't look like much of anything but a little pissant Midwestern kind of waspy enclave. But the people there are really nice. It actually became famous. There was a documentary that was done on that town, Couscous and Cultural Diplomacy, and it focused on an openly gay couple who settled in Elkader and opened an Algerian-American restaurant. And they were embraced.
That's beautiful.
It is.
But
it
for fuck's sake, do not tell Joni Ernst.
Oh, I was writing music about her today.
Yeah, I saw.
I can sing. No, I won't.
I understand.
I won't. But El Cater is also famous because the lowest temperatures ever recorded in Iowa were recorded in El Cater. It was February 3rd, 1996, where the temperature got to minus 47 degrees.
Jesus.
Yep. They're sturdy people like me.
You know, you betcha.
You betcha. Although Barbie's, she's still got a little bit more of that nasally, not quite Bachman thing going. I love her. I get it.
Hi, Barbie.
She's out there. So I haven't heard from her today. I'll have to go hunting. But anyway, I just thought I'd give you that little piece of. I know you hate it when you're thinking of something and you can't nail down what it is.
Yeah, it drives me crazy.
It drives you crazy. And I kept saying what you were saying over and over in my head, and all of a sudden it was like, El Cater. And I got it.
And there we go.
And I had to share that with you because I'm a giver.
And I'm so glad. Thank you, Carol. And you have a warm, warm evening, the best you can.
Okay. I actually feel better. I'm not swearing anymore. I don't have, you know.
Well, see, that's why we exist.
Terrorist Tourette's.
Yeah. That's why we exist. We just calm each other down. It's a family commune congregation, and we can just, you know, make everybody stops feeling quite so, because I've been feeling that way all day.
I know.
I catch cabin fever really, really easy.
I know. But I confess that halfway through that whole thing, I did the U-shaped Thorazine blow dart. I'm all better. It really smooths out the edges.
Yeah, it just takes the edges right off.
And, it really does.
And relax and have a lovely evening.
I shall, and I shall continue to listen.
And I'm awfully glad. And thanks for introducing so many people to the program.
Oh, my pleasure. They are cool people. But you had a lot of really cool people here.
It's a lovely little community we've got 10 years bringing together. Well, again, stay warm and be good, and I'll look for you on the interwebs.
I'll be there.
All right. See you, Carol.
Bye, hon.
Bye. News Ninja Carol Baker calling from Hooterville. Let's keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program, and thanks for waiting.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, yeah, this is Edward.
Howdy, Edward. The minute I heard your voice, I knew.
Oh, okay. Well, I heard something that flabbergasted me today, and I'm not easily flabbergasted anymore. I've been around for a long time.
I would say it probably takes a little worse to you.
It does. But I heard Mitch McConnell wants the president to compromise. Excusez-moi, s'il vous plaît.
That sounds like some unaccented French, Edward. You better be careful. Somebody will think you're a terrorist.
Oh, I probably will. I have to watch that in Dallas. Because this past weekend, there were six people got shot. Dallas is turning into something like a shootout at the OK Corral. So, anyway, I was just, as I said, flabbergasted. Compromise, he's doing the old thing the Nazis did, accusing someone of what they are doing.
Precisely.
Yeah, he's accusing the president of doing what he did all the time, what McConnell did.
It's a hell of a time for Mitch McConnell to get a big case of the compromises, seeing how he couldn't spell it, he couldn't say it for the last six years. Compra who?
Yeah. Oh my. Well, anyway, I was flabbergasted. Oh, and I to make you up to date on the earthquake situation around here.
On Facebook, and I saw a post by my buddy Darla, who was talking about a big one yesterday. Did you feel that one?
No, it didn't get as far over to me. They've been occurring in a town just northwest of Dallas. It's actually a suburb Irving, Texas. That's where the old Cowboy Stadium used to be.
Right, and I read that they're blaming the earthquake on improper demolition of the stadium.
No, they're not. I haven't heard that one. But
well, apparently so.
There's lots of oil wells around that area. So they're blaming it sort of on the oil wells. But they have appointed a commission to study and see if they can determine what's causing it. Last year, there were 12 earthquakes. And yesterday, in 24 hours, they had 24 earthquakes. That's a lot.
I'll deal with that. You know, that's a lot if you're in Southern California.
They're buying earthquake insurance.
Well, of course they are.
Yeah, and in the schools there, they're instructing the students how to duck and cover. I haven't done that since the end of World War II. We used to do it, but we'll have to do it because we were going to have an atomic bomb dropped on us.
Right, the Cold War. But here's the question, Edward. it seems to me that a lot of Texans, if I'm reading correctly, a lot of Texans understand that it's being caused by fracking.
Well, we have our suspicions about that, yes. By fracking. Mm-hmm.
So help me to understand, please, Edward. If people to the extent that you and I can, people know that it's being caused by fracking, and it's earthquakes. And we know that earthquakes can get dangerous and very destructive.
That's right.
So does the oil industry get a pass? Or does the gas industry get a pass on causing earthquakes? I mean, they're causing earthquakes. But because it's Texas and because it's a hydrocarbon, Texans just say, well, that's business.
Yeah.
I mean, is that it? I mean, because,
I heard T-Bone Pickens pontificating on that. I changed my mind about T. Boone a little bit when he got into the wind power thing. But anyway, one of our best customers in my business, I started a little business here in Dallas, which happens to be still going, which is real nice. But nevertheless, anyhow, one of our best customers was taken over by T. Boone Pickens. Well, it wasn't taken over, but he tried, but they had to take a poison pill to get him off of, which ruined the company, one of our best customers. Anyway, I was sort of mad at T. Boone, and there's this real nice restaurant, which was a fast food place. You just went in and ordered and got the stuff at the counter and paid and went and sat down. Well, I was standing at the counter, got my stuff and paid, and I didn't realize the man standing behind me was so close. And I step back, and he goes, ow! I step square in the middle of T. Boone Pickens' foot. And he deserved it. And I'm not sorry.
And you're not sorry. No, indeed. No, but I just think about all the bad things that can be caused by human activity. Mm-hmm. I think about climate change, Edward.
Yeah.
And those of us who have two functioning brain cells to rub together understand that it's caused by human activity. And so we say, well, if human activities are causing climate change, and climate change is bad for the continued existence of the species, maybe we should stop changing the climate.
That would be a good idea, I think.
But the obvious other side of the coin is people who say, well, fracking's causing earthquakes. And earthquakes ain't necessarily good, but jobs. And I can't get there. My mind won't go. I can't complete the journey. I can't close the circuit.
Well, they don't even hardly mention jobs here because they'll open some plan or something, and then they crow about how many people they've hired, but. I never seem to hear any of them talking about, maybe these jobs in the fracking world are causing problems.
I
think we need more than a commission to study it.
How about some scientists?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because, see, every time Texas sets up a commission, it winds up being peopled by political hacks and flacks.
You're telling me.
Who wind up with recommendations like, you know what? I think we could probably stop having earthquakes if we would just declare that Moses was a founding father.
Or you'd have to worry about those Titanic plates.
Well, they're
you
just...
You know, maybe they're moving around down there.
Well, they do, and they move around on the Titanic dinner table like greased Frisbees.
I see. Well, I think I've blabbed enough. And you all take care, and I'll be listening to you and talking to you. 15 degrees here tonight.
Well, you know what? You're 15 degrees better than I am right now.
Woo-wee! Well, this is going to freeze everybody to death here.
Yeah, meanwhile, Barbie in Iowa just told me that they've got minus 20.
Ooh, oh, Lord.
Yeah, I'll take a pass on that. Never mind the brass monkeys. Don't anybody go out in that.
Oh, my word. Well, you take care.
All right, have a good evening, Edward. Good to talk to you. Good to hear from you. Bye now.
Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Our buddy Edward calling from Dallas. There's nothing quite like a call from Edward. I keep telling him that we got to have a book. We got to have a book. And I think we just got a title this evening. Stomping T. Boone's Foot. Honest to God, tell me how many other radio programs there are out there where you can tune in and hear a first-person account of somebody who stomped the foot of T. Boone Pickens, please. Because I think you, me, us, the Horn Family Commune Congregation, I think we're it. I think we're the only one. Mm-hmm. It is 3 minutes past the hour. Where does the time go? We've got about, I'd say 50, 52, 53 minutes of good conversation remaining in the program if you wish to participate in it. Or I can filibuster. It's up to you. Looks like we're getting ourselves in a tough way. We came into the program with a $260 fundraising goal. And here with 57 minutes remaining in the program, 56, we are still at $260, which means that tomorrow will be... Holy Jesus, 410. Yeesh. So, anybody wanting to help out, the PayPal interface is over at headonradionetwork.com. And jump right in. It's how we keep all of this going. Well, I think I just screwed up. A call was coming in, and I think I pushed the wrong button. So, by all means, if you want to get in the conversation, I'll try... to do it better next time. Of course, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. Email BobKincaid, BobKincaid at gmail.com, 304-574-8178, and 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676 gets you right into the program. Speaking of... Oh, wait, okay, this time I didn't screw up the call coming in. Hey, Bill. Wait a minute. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Cold. But you beat me to it, man. The cold in the you hit that one. Hey, how are you? Let me turn the radio down here.
Yeah, that helps a little bit.
Yeah, you've been fading in and out up here, but...
We're having buffering problems with the interweb tubes, and I'm trying to get them squared away, but so far, no.
What is it? Is it your carrier that's giving you trouble?
It's my internet service provider, yeah. The download side is apparently wonderful, but the upload side sucks.
Oh, you said something about brass bra. That's one of the oldest lines in the world. It's colder than a witch's memory.
I was talking about the brass monkeys, but no, that's cold too. Yes.
Oh yeah, that was the testicles on a brass monkey. Yes. Okay. The other one I've heard was the well digger's butt. That's.
We're fond of the well digger here in Appalachistan.
Yeah. I wonder what it was. Well, we have a salt mine right down in downtown Cleveland. I've been in it a couple of times delivering stuff, and it makes you think about, here's a salt mine on the shore of a big freshwater lake. There's things that went on that were before my time. I'll be damned, you know. As old as you get. You don't realize. You and Carol had me going tonight. That's, I appreciate the seriousness of the situation, but hitting him my aide came in and she mentioned the shooting in France, and I can't really get a damn news station on a computer where I can actually hear, it may be untruthful as hell, but at least you heard about something happening. Now, did they purposely go out to get this guy?
Which one?
The one in France that was shot.
Well, I mean, there were 12 were killed.
Oh. Well, that's just, it's relative situations that are of all kinds. Because the guy that you talked about, the Catholic character,
yeah.
You mean he's not officially sponsored by anybody?
He just declared himself to be the Catholic League. I'm sure there was some right-wing money tucked away in there somewhere. There always is.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of Catholics who do not like the changes in the Catholic liturgy. It was all Latin when I was a kid.
Yeah, and there are still people who are pissed off about that.
Yes, they can't accept change at all. I mean, Bob, the only time I get in a church anymore is that if there's a wooden box sitting in the aisle, or if there's some relative or the other, you know.
Right.
That's about the only time I go, and I won't be there myself. My plan to be cremated and buried with all my dog's ashes. Take us all up to Chautauqua Lake and dump us in, you know. I like the damn place enough. You know, that's an interesting place. They have the Chautauqua Institute itself has some of the craziest fucking gingerbread houses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been up there?
No, I have not. I'm familiar with it, but I haven't been there.
Yeah, we go up there to fish, but I would, I'd throw the wife's bicycle and my bicycle on the back of the truck. We go up and ride, because even I get tired of bobbing around on the water, especially if the fishing conditions aren't conducive to catching some. It's like, you might beat your head against the wall. Wait till, I knew where all the weed beds were, and I had a paper graph that drew the outlines of the lake. That's an amazing thing. I'd be working over a bar that came up close to the surface, and you'd go across it, and I'd be dragging this, well, we call them crankbaits.
No, I know what
you're
talking
about. They look like minnow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, you'd see this shooting movement, and bam, you'd have a fish on it. I went across the thing three times and came up with three walleye. I was getting pretty good at the whole thing.
Oh, man.
I missed it because you can't find it. We have one place called Sussex Fish and Chips, which was originally founded by people from England. Because, you know what an English chip is?
Yeah, French fries.
French fries, yeah. Oh, brother. Yeah, but the whole thing, you were talking about, supposedly somebody was talking about Algeria and France, and when the entrenched camp, the Indian food fell, The one thing that the Viet Minh were doing was telling these Algerians, what are you doing fighting over here in our country when the French are rushing? The French army would have to go out in the field, and one day they're fighting the Algerian rebels, and the next day they're fighting the French people who did not want to go back to France, you know, that settled in Algeria, and that was their country.
Right.
Because they had been there since the 1860s, 1870. And as I say, the benefit that I get out of the is being able to go to a Vietnamese delicatessen or food store and buy, you know, cans of Café Du Monde coffee, which I happen to appreciate very much. And I do have an Ibeck or Ebeck, if you like, making the what we would call, I forget the name of it we used to call it, but it's Turkish coffee. It's strong, and I'll tell you how strong it is. You don't need a cup. You just pour it, and it stands on the counter. You know, it's a strong coffee. But what Americans don't know about the rest of the world, and this Islamic thing is balanced by the usual gang of idiots that we hear about on Wednesday night, and Christians, and I haven't heard, well, I guess that I read something or heard something the other day that the up in the mountains around India and Pakistan are going at each other up there over the, there's a place up there, Kashmir, fighting over that. I mean, it's like you give a guy a piece of bacon, you know, and then the guy next to him will try to grab the bacon and they'll fight it out, you know? I don't know anymore. I just kind of give up on the whole thing, but, I get a kick out of you guys when you get going. I've heard worse comedy teams in my life. You're talking about serious things, but if you kind of hit you on the soft side of it, it really sinks in. Hey, well, you have a good night, and I got to get out of here tomorrow. It's going to be about 10 above zero. I don't really like going out and that stuff anymore. I never lie. Well, one of the funniest stories I have, it was really cold here. It was with a wind chill, it was like minus 30, and I went out and I ran a snow blower and I did all my duties around the house, and I said, I'm going to the YMCA, take a quick shower and a steam, another shower, and then go in the Scandinavian thing, the dry heat.
The sauna.
And I said, I get to the YMCA, and you're driving through the crap, and there's a sign, the Y's closed because of the weather. That's the story of my life right there. No matter how hard you try, sometimes you can't make something more work. Anyway, stay out of trouble, Robert.
You know what? A nice sauna would be pleasant about now. But then again, I might wind up napping in it, given what the temperature is these hereabouts.
Well, I hate to spend the money and the power, but electric blankets are really nice. Somebody should, you know, tell my first wife, don't dump water on a man when he's on an electric blanket. I got that visual from the movies where you can see right through the guy and count the bones on the concrete.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
I said, thanks a lot, you know. Shocking. Anyhow, take care of yourself.
You too, Bill. Talk to you soon.
Goodbye.
Bye now. Our buddy Bill, Mr. Stress. Yeah, you know, the cartoons with the electricity and you can see the skeleton. Right. I don't know. Electric blankets kind of give me the creeps, but. That's me. I've got a couple of Arctic rated sleeping bags I use, and it gets pretty toasty. It's pretty nice. It's just that anything that's exposed, well, it's pretty daggum cold. Hey, look, it's Barbie. Hey, Barbie.
Hey, buddy.
I'd say how are you, but I know at 20 below you can't be too great.
Moving slow, honey. Moving slow.
Well, I understand. I understand. And so how far are you from Elkader, Iowa?
I'm guessing probably maybe 2 hours.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, it was driving me crazy last night. I'm so glad that your sister sort of provided the necessary background on it.
Oh, the minute she said it, it's like, oh yeah.
Just a charming little place. Now I'm going to have to look it up on Google Earth. And I swear, I think their high school mascot really was the Fighting Sheiks or something.
I think they may have
changed that by now, but.
Yeah, they changed. They went through a change here a few years ago where they got rid of all the, like, Indian mascots and anything that could be controversial. And now we have, like, rams and tigers and lions and bears. Oh, my.
Yeah, fine by me. Fine by me.
That's right.
But now you can proudly say now, Barbie, Joni Ernst is my senator.
Oh, my fucking God. You had to ruin my day, didn't you, honey?
What? Blame it on your sister. I saw the story earlier today, and I kid you not, if she hasn't told you or you haven't seen it. Senator Lindsey Graham, cracker.
Oh, I saw that idiot in my
presented her, presented Senator Ernst with a mounted plaque of a hog castrator as her welcoming gift to the Senate.
And just think, we've got a few more years of that.
Six. Count them, six.
Sucking six.
but as I pointed out, I think that was just a little bit bitchy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sort of, yeah. Welcome to the congregation, Sister Joni. Here's your hog castrator. Bless your heart. God love her. She can't help it.
She asked for it.
Oh, mercy. And so I'm sure in no time she will spend her, she'll make her opening foray into Senate remarking. By warning us that we're all going to be attacked by Muslims in little black cars.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah, kind of. Oh.
Help me get through it. Help me get through it.
Well, isn't that where we all are for the next six, well, at least the next 2 years?
Yes.
Just kind of hunkered down and hoping they don't us too hard. Although they're already working on it. I read about something earlier today, Barbie. The Repiglicans in the House have already decided that old-fashioned mathematics is not good enough for them, and it's not like they want some common core mathematics. They've introduced a concept in the House now where they're going to have what they call dynamic scoring of bills, because, you know, the Congressional Budget Office scores bills as to whether or not, as to how much they're going to cost. And the Repiglicans didn't like it because they kept putting through these tax cut proposals, and the CBO would come back and say, yeah, it's going to cost us a lot of money. So now, they've figured out a way where they're going to make the Congressional Budget Office use a new conservative mathematics where all tax cuts wind up being good, and they've just got it. They're going to send a stamp over to the CBO, and they're just going to stamp it, good for America.
God help us.
Dynamically scored.
God help
good
us.
For America.
God help us.
Because everything's going to add up to good for America. But the funny thing is, they're not going to use dynamic scoring for any democratically introduced concepts.
Well, of course not. I let him have a break.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Well, honey, I just swung in to say hi to everybody.
Well, I'm so glad you did. Everybody's tickled pink to hear from you.
Awesome.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. And now Carol doesn't have to go chasing you down because I heard her say that she hadn't heard from you all day.
Yeah, 2 days, yeah. That's kind of a long time for us.
Yeah, well.
Well, carry on with your work.
Well, I will. I'm just glad that nobody has to send out the bloodhounds or anything tonight. It's cold for dogs, too.
It's too cold for the search party.
Screw it. Let them freeze. Never mind. Right. All right, Barbie, you have a lovely evening.
You too.
All right. Bye now.
Bye now.
Barbie calling from frozen Iowa. Frozen indeed. 21 minutes past the hour. Hey, this is good news. Thank you very kindly, Dan and Roger. Dan got us started on fundraising for the evening and took us down to, wait a minute, 245, and then Roger took us down to 145 to go for fundraising for the evening. So we're within actually... $145, and we're not in a hole. Isn't that cool? Thank you, Roger, and thank you, Dan, very, very kindly. It is much appreciated because, you know, this is a community effort. This is how we keep all of this going. Oh, my God, this is just a red-letter evening. It's the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry.
Hey, my man, what's going on?
Well, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at the news like you. You know, my wife and I got up this morning, and we see the attack that went down, well, the twin attack, when we were watching Democracy Now! This morning, you know, the twin attacks, as far as I'm concerned, because we're only talking about one, and that's what happened in Paris. But the NAACP attack, you know, no one's really talking about that. And there was a Veterans Administration building that was attacked as well.
Oh, so the VA was in the same building as the NAACP?
No, I don't think it was in the same building, but there was another incident. It was reported on democracynow.org this morning.
Oh, son of a gun.
Yeah, the fella killed himself. I believe he shot a doctor and he shot himself. You know, I mean, a lot of folks are not aware of how many suicides that are
okay,
taking
place. That wasn't in Colorado Springs, was it?
Well, as we're talking, I'm going to look it up quick. I really don't have to date.
I hate it that I'd forgotten about the VA attack. I thought that was in Texas, or maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it might have been Texas. I really don't remember. I just heard it in passing because at the time there wasn't a whole lot of data on... you know, who and what the reasoning, you know, for this was. Same thing with Paris. I mean, everyone, you know, is pretty much assuming, probably rightly, that this is connected to the work that they do. But they seem to go after a lot of people. So it's not as if they were singling out, it doesn't seem anyway, as if they were singling out Muslims in particular. But that's not the way it's going to be looked at. And the fact that, you know, for example, Moses and Abraham and Jesus are not being mocked like this, you know, equally.
Right.
They're taking offense. And we're really, I mean, from what I've just seen recently, that these two men are French nationals of Algerian descent, at least the one that they got, and or is it two, I believe. But they're starting to identify these.
Yeah, two 30-somethings and one 18-year-old.
And an 18-year-old. So, and they're talking about Syria in connection with this. You know, and I know a lot of people, Alex Jones is probably already connected this to the Gladio network and another false flag thing. But
I don't think it was more than a couple of hours after word of this started filtering out that, because Carol's got a really, really busy Facebook page. And, somebody had drawn her in and started hollering, false flag, false flag. It's like, oh, Jesus, mm-hmm. Really? Already? But of course already, because they've got that network. They can get that crazy shit out there in the time it takes us to blink. Yeah, the VA clinic was in Texas. It was in El Paso. Mm-hmm. Angry.
He killed the doctor, and then he killed himself. So.
Right.
So we can only assume what was going on behind that as we read the torture report and as we hear that the war in Afghanistan is officially over, while Blackwater, otherwise known as Z, otherwise known as Academi, is making a serious profit from what the hell is there. You know, it's just a lot of craziness. But all of this tilts to the far right. Regardless of the ethnicity, regardless of the nationality, regardless of the theology.
Yeah,
the men who went and did this in Paris are fascists. They just happen to be Islamic fascists. You know, we don't know what's going on with what happened at the VA because we're dealing with vets that are dealing with PTSD, and nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about it. And then we got the NAACP. We already know, you know, they're looking for a white male connected to this, I believe, or two white males. I know they're looking for one for sure. Far right.
Yeah.
So, you know, how much longer are we going to continue to pretend that nothing's happening? And like Carol said, I believe it was Carol earlier, that, you know, the Bundy Ranch, here they pulled down on federal officials. Nobody gets upset. These two officers are killed by a maniac in New York. And, you know, now it's this war against the black community. But in the meantime, police officers are being harmed by the violence is really coming from where? The far right, regardless of whether it's white.
Right, and that's why I made a special point of mentioning this arraignment that went down, Monday, in Georgia. You know, you got three middle-aged white militia, right-wing, probably white supremacist, so-called constitutionalists. You know, it's a perfect storm of typical right-wing terrorism, and they were planning on bombing a police precinct. They wanted to attack DUI checkpoints. They wanted to attack the TSA. For all the right wing and Fox and all those creeps hoot and holler about, well, what about Bill Ayers and Jeremiah Wright, goddammit? Well, it ain't there, Angry. All the internal domestic threats in this country of an organized nature are coming from the right. And yes, you're absolutely correct. It is the fascist right.
Yeah, I mean, see, the thing with the Weather Underground, they were really a product of the time. And if the information that I've seen is true, I mean, there's been allegations that they were, you know, being aided by Cuban intelligence, who was basically funneling their instructions, directives, whatever the hell it would be, through the KGB. So, I mean, the KGB was doing this through the Cuban intelligence, and that may be true. And you can really point to the Weather Underground and say, okay, this was a violent left-wing, whatever that was supposed to be, organization. But if you really listen to them, they were more anarchist. They were so against the system. I mean, even the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Fred Hampton is on film saying that the Weather Underground were crazy, that was not what they were about.
And now you mentioned the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Now, lo and behold, if you look down Texas way, I don't know if you've seen this, but down in Texas, in Arlington in particular, you got a bunch of white cranks all gunned up that are putting old Black Panther Party for Self-Defense tactics kind of back into play. They're cop watching.
Only, cop watching for who? For what? They're not the ones being shot every 28 hours on average.
Well, but just in case they start, I guess. No, but again, they're the same. They're the same as these assholes in Georgia. Yeah, they're destroying the Constitution, and so it's gone. So they've gone from watching the cops, which is what the Panthers did once upon a time, to now they're talking about they're openly intimidating the police. They're poking them with sharp sticks.
Yeah, and you notice the police aren't complaining that goddamn much. So far on my own show, I talked about, you know, one sheriff up in Washington State who said, look, we need this military shit, not because we got a problem with black people, not because we got an Indian trouble, but because we got white supremacists over here that have heavy equipment. And we never know when we're going to have to clash with them because these fuckers are always talking about doing the extreme. Now, I have to admit, that was a legitimate goddamn reason, and I stand by him on that. But he's the only one. If you ask anybody in the GOP if there's a problem with white supremacy in this country, they'll fucking call you a racist, that you have a problem with white people.
Well, right, and if you get caught out giving speeches to Klan organizations, you're using your political correctness to violate his First Amendment freedom of association.
Hell yeah, and then what's the real bottom line with that? And I'm not just saying this because Obama is of African descent and he's the president right now. I'm saying this because this is what it is. Where is the Democratic Party in situations like this? Even they haven't stood up for something like this. We've had the Oath Keepers. They showed up in Ferguson. And if it wasn't for the simple fact that you had the Klan down there and the Oath Keepers at the same time, somebody somewhere said, pull the plug on that. And they got the Oath Keepers out of there. They forced them out. And the Klan ended up not showing up at all. I mean, they were there, but they were undercover. you know, but the real, you know, deal is that we are watching the far right march in Australia with the election of Tony Abbott, the far right march in Canada with the election of Stephen Harper. You have Cameron in the UK, right? You've had Sarkozy, who was, you know, not far right, but he was center right. And now you have somebody, you know, what? You had Sarkozy, and what happened with that? And then you got Modi in India. You have the far right winning because the economy is bad. I mean, the fact that the Golden Dawn is you know, threatening to really take over the government in these next elections that are coming up in Greece, if the austerity is pushed, is bad. People are voting like this because they feel that these are the only people that are trying to do anything. And then you have Likud going on in Israel. So, you know, somebody at some point that's in a position of power that is supposed to represent democratic principles, I don't even give a damn if it's a Republican. It can't be a hypocrite like Rand or Ron Paul. But it has to be somebody legit to really point out, you know, what the hell is happening. Things are moving to the right. And once that... At an alarming pace. And once this continues to go on, we're going to see more incidents like this. You got a lot of jerks out here who read the Turner Diaries. William Pierce's fucking handbook for this bullshit. You know, a lot of that material is still being passed around. You got the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which is complete nonsense. Being passed around.
Yeah.
Black people read this and believe it, too. You know, I have a lot of quarrels with a lot of, you know, Africans who say, well, this is true. Look at Israel. Look at how the Jews are controlling this. And I'm like, where the hell are you getting this from? And it's, you know, rents.com. It's,
oh, right. And that was, you know, that was one of the false flag arguments that I saw earlier today. Well, you know, what went on in Paris was really the Mossad.
Yeah.
Aye, with Israel. This ain't one of them.
This ain't one of them. No. I mean, you know, they're having a problem, Jews in Europe, because of what Israel is doing.
Yeah.
And these are people who are probably, you know, Jew haters to begin with.
But yeah, just looking for an excuse.
You know, and this is what's really, you know, really gets me about the way the Israeli government and its lobby here in the U.S. through AIPAC carries itself. Because you just had somebody who was an Israeli who was given some position, I believe, in the Federal Reserve or the IMF or whatever it is. I can't remember exactly because I just scanned it. But, you know, it was just, and I only saw it because it was some neo-Nazi making a post on Twitter talking about the Jews have completely taken over. And pointed to this article that this Israeli...
And reference to the Rothschilds in 3, 2, 1. Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's almost as if they're going by the playbook, the way Bush was playing by what the fuck the terrorists were you know, pretty much... You know, saying, yeah, well, they're going to do this, and he's going to do that, and he responded in kind, and such and so on. So you got this bouncing back and forth. I mean, obviously, Orwell was on point. The war is not meant to be won. It is meant to be continuous.
Exactly. And meanwhile, there was some mention of a Yemeni connection with the attackers in Paris. We you know, what Carol said is very true. We only know what we don't know. But... What, a suicide bombing in Sana'a, Yemen, in the last 24, 48 hours resulted in something like 40 dead?
Yeah, and what would this magazine have to do with that?
Well, you know, but I'm sure it has a damn sure lot to do with things like drone strikes.
Well, maybe and maybe not. You know, who really knows? So, you know, when you
well,
really
that's
look
fair.
At it,
that's absolutely.
You know, when you really look at a lot, it's like this, you know, that fucking fool that shot those two officers in New York. I mean, it would have been one thing if he was under some kind of a threat, or maybe if they were stomping somebody or some shit, you know, or maybe they were about to, you know, like, they, you know, within an inch of taking somebody out, you know. There was no justification for what he did. That was just cold-blooded fucking murder.
Right, I can't even talk cogently about that particular incident. That horrifying incident, without noting the fact that there were hours in which law enforcement had an opportunity to take him down.
Well, people wonder about that, but then at the same time, you know, when you look at these kinds of attacks, it doesn't necessarily have to be a plot. It doesn't have to be planned. It can just be two or three fools that have an idea. But even if law enforcement might just let it go, because politically it can get them what they want. I'm of that mind with Anders Breivik. You know this because I wrote about it. He was looking for all of the materials that he was using for his attack, or his attacks, actually, in Norway, on Google. So if they're monitoring everybody, if they're collating all of this data, how come nobody noticed what this man was doing, especially with his connections and the fact that he was traveling internationally and to the United States and Canada, meeting members of the far right, including people who are connected to Robert Spencer and Pamela Geller? You know, the American news media, when they talked about Breivik, when they weren't defending him, they totally ignored all of that information. So you kind of have to wonder, in that sense, like, why this was allowed to happen. Because it certainly swung the elections in Norway when it came up. The conservatives won.
Oh, and I got to tell you, one of the things I heard in the for-profit media earlier today just sort of floored me, because I can't remember if it was a guest or if it was an anchor saying it or some expert, what have you. But the statement was something like this, and it was in regard to Paris. And the person said, well, what the American intelligence apparatus will do now is they'll take the information that we have gathered, and they'll look backward and see if there was any chatter that might have pointed to it. Really? Oh, you know, good for them. In other words, we're going to close the barn door after the horse is gone.
So, yeah, that's just totally illogical. And if that's the way that they're doing business, then stop collecting any data at all. Because what's the point then?
What you said, though, Angry, I mean, it, time out, right? I thought we were listening to... I thought we were just dipping into the stream and listening to every. Who's doing the listening? Is there a flaw in the Unablab 10,000 down there in the basement of the NSA? Did these guys manage to do this without ever touching a cell phone or a phone at all?
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that. Same thing with the event in Boston. You know, now that the trial is coming up. There's a lot of questions. They said that there was a firefight. They showed it on the news in real time. It turned out there were no weapons in there. Not to say that they didn't do this.
No, but they didn't know that they were going to do this. No, it leads me, Angry, to this place where I can't help asking, I have no doubt that we're collecting all, you know, we're being spied on. The whole damn world's being spied on. This information is being collected. What good is it? Because it does, it didn't stop a pipe bombing in Colorado Springs. It looks like the FBI got the three goobers in Georgia from just plain old fashioned
police work. Yeah.
It didn't stop Anders Breivik. It didn't stop these guys in Paris. It doesn't appear to be doing anything.
No, but and then again,
except providing an opportunity for the occasional fucked up vengeful analyst to check in and see what his ex-girlfriend's up to.
Well,
because we know they do that.
Yeah, because Google has let go of people for that, and you got a big scandal right now with the Pentagon. It turns out that there was at least one employee who tried to download porn 12,000 times in 3 months. And they also are talking about a pedophile issue that they have using government computers in the Pentagon. You know, this is crazy. This is crazy. Who's watching the watchers? Absolutely nobody. And the reason that I'm pointing to this without trying to sound like a conspiracy theorist is that you have an incident going on right now in Germany where they had to get rid of the head of their intelligence because Eric Fromm, they had to get rid of him. He's been running that thing for, 18 to damn near 2 decades. It turns out that, you know, for 10 years, there was a neo-Nazi organization running around robbing banks, doing assassinations, you know, shooting Turks and what have you, and using explosive devices in areas. And they were allowed to do this for 10 years. They finally got them, mostly because they got very clumsy, because they were very sloppy to begin with. It didn't seem like anybody was trying to stop them. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And it turns out that they were spreading documents through the entire 10-year period and covering this up.
Well, I come back to the fact that we seem obsessed with gizmos. I mean, I joke about our gizmo line here and everything, but we seem to be obsessed with technology when technology ain't cutting the mustard. I mean, technology, they were getting pings from that maniac's cell phone when he was on the bus to New York City. They've admitted it.
It came to naught. Meanwhile, I saw a video early this morning, and I tweeted it out. I don't know if you saw it or not, in which I wondered if the Patrick Lynch mob had gone to the hospital room to turn its back on this particular police officer. There's a video out there now of a dumbass who happens to be a member of the NYPD. You know what they were doing one day for fun? They were the cops were getting on the hood of a cruiser and riding on the hood of the cruiser, and then the driver would stop, and the guy had to hang on. Only this cop didn't hang on and got thrown off the cruiser and wound up in the hospital with a goddamn head injury. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, really? I'm guessing they're not going to show this video over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda.
Well, I believe they might have. I believe they did, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's more cop shows, more cop movies. You know, there's more cop cop propaganda out here.
What about the cop story out of your neck of the woods?
Which one?
James Worley. He's a former cop. He became an evangelical pastor at Powell Valley Church. Jessica sent this in. He got arrested December the 30th on 37 counts. 20 counts of sexual abuse, 11 counts of sodomy, 2 counts of rape, 1 count of attempted sodomy, and 3 counts of using a child in a display of sexually explicit conduct.
Oh.
This is an ex-cop turned preacher. The prosecutors have said it happened between 2002 and 2004. They don't think that he was a preacher then. They think that's when he was a cop.
Well, he wouldn't be the first one.
2007, he was fired from the Tillamook, Oregon Police Department for unethical citation writing, destroying marijuana evidence in the field, excessive internet use while on duty, creating sexually explicit advertisements, and making unwanted sexual advances to a woman at a 9/11 dispatch center.
And how? And what was the time period in which he was doing all of this?
Apparently 2002 to 2007. And of course, he's got a blog, Pastor Jamie's blog. It's been made private by its owner. You can't see it anymore. And he complained when he was fired back in 2007 that he was poorly trained and that nobody ever told him that, unethical citation writing, destroying marijuana evidence in the field, excessive internet use while on duty, creating sexually explicit advertisements, and making unwanted sexual advances to a woman at a 911 dispatch center were wrong. Nobody told him that was wrong.
Yeah,
by the way, the victims were between 12 and 14 years old.
Oh, God damn. You know, what the fuck? You know, I'm going to tell you something.
Sorry.
I've been saying this for a long time, that there's a link between neoconservative, I mean, like really hardcore conservative attitudes and pedophilia. I really believe that because there are so many fucking neo-Nazis, you know, like the cat that led the march to Skokie or wanted to.
Yeah.
The neo-Nazi, he ended up going to prison for that. And there used to be a blogger that used to really report on those stories. I don't know if he's still out there. And it was like, how many times is this going to happen? How many times is this going to happen? How many times? How many times do they catch neo-Nazis doing this? How many times do they catch Republicans doing this? And I'm not talking about conservative Republicans, you know, not like Eisenhower people. I'm talking about these motherfucking screaming Mike Huckabee types.
Steve Scalise, damn it.
Shit. You know, I mean, what was the one that was wearing he's the Nazi reenactor in Ohio?
Yeah, sure.
You know, and it's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? And then they're the first ones to talk about the family, right? They're the first ones to talk about morality, what's right, what's wrong. And they're the first ones to call for war. They demand the death penalty. If, matter of fact, they're so goddamn, you know, keyed on killing people. That here's law enforcement now. This is
the justice system in the United States that is buying execution drugs in a black market because they got such an itchy goddamn finger. You know, I mean, the smell of death is all around us. And no one really wants to wake up to this shit because then we all have to snap out of this fucking fantasy. Because then we really have to start asking ourselves, how did we allow things this goddamn far? When you talk about the Vietnam syndrome, what the hell were they talking about? We need to get the entire population's mind into the idea that murder is good, that brigandage is good, that war is good, that rape and pillage is good, that this is acceptable conduct. Because if we don't do this, they will not support us as we start to go for these, you know, wars of opportunity so that we can straighten out the petroleum industry in a way that it works for United States interests and United States interests only. I mean, even the Europeans are complaining. Remember, you know, I'm not making this up. It was Cheney that said old Europe. He was making a point.
Yep.
We are not playing by the old rules. We don't give a damn about the, you know, secret order, the golden fleece, and all that type of crap. You know, we don't care about any of that. We don't have castles. We don't give a damn. If a building here is 50 years old, we get rid of it. It's ancient. You know, I mean, I read The Project for a New American Century, so none of us should be goddamn surprised that this mentality of death and destruction has come home. And people are not, my wife is saying, she is not political. She's like, people are not talking to each other anymore. She's like, people are not talking to each other anymore. We don't discuss. We argue now. And it's really bothering her, you know,
wait, okay, so there's actually a tie into this, Angry. People don't talk to each other anymore. They argue. I'm proud of the fact that we do talk to each other on this program. And it's why, among other things, right wingers are not allowed here. But, I'm not trying to be critical of anyone in particular. I saw a note from our buddy Michael in Madison on Facebook today, talking about for the second day in a row some absolutely disgusting right winger. The one yesterday called him a Nazi.
Called him a Nazi?
Called Tom a Nazi, and the one today. Referred to Rachel Maddow as Rick Maddow.
He allowed that to go on.
He just let it slide right by. But regardless of those particular circumstances, the fact of the matter is, we had a little bit of discussion, not a lot, but this is a model, okay? This is a real live, honest to God, no kidding, model of American professional broadcasting. And it began, to be fair, it began, way back when, relatively speaking, when I was just a little baby journalist at CNN. It began with Crossfire. It began with, who was that nasty old vampiric-looking pale, but, you know, you'd have a right-winger and a left-winger, well, you know, what left, scream at each other for 30 minutes. And you know that was the operating model for Fox News. I mean, I think Rupert Murdoch got the idea for Fox News from Crossfire.
It's possible.
And so it's that possible. and so you know, and all the crap that arises out of that, Jerry Springer, and bless his heart, some of the Montel and Sally Jesse Raphael and on and on, and then it expands out into Judge Judy and Wapner, and it is I call it the conflict model of broadcasting, or the conflict model of media, where the idea, you know, where even the words that we use with each other become cudgels in some sort of verbal gladiatorial contest, and people tune in and Crossfire was cruising along in its second generation with Carville and Begala and Tucker Carlson until John Stewart shows up one day and says, why don't you guys try not to be such dicks? And all of a sudden Crossfire was dead.
But you'll notice that Crossfire, I don't even know if it's still going, but they tried to revive it a couple of years, within the last couple of years. But it's alive and well with Hannity and O'Reilly screaming people down on Fox. And that is what has cheapened and coarsened the nature, because we culturally angry take our cues from TV. Once upon a time, we took it from radio. We used to take it from the movies, you know.
But look how you mentioned radio. Now, remember, I'm from the East Coast, and I used to get some of the radio stations in New York when I lived in Newark. And you have Bob Grant.
Oh, yeah, sure. He was pure poison.
Then Howard Stern came around, and then he got into the fucking war that he was having with, the fuck is his name? Nappy-headed hoes. Don Imus.
Oh, Imus, yeah.
And, you know, they really didn't like each other, I understand, because that's when I was just trying to, you know, think of, I was looking at radio as a career, and we were supposed to idolize these fucking guys because they had so much, you know, listenership. But what I used to say to people was, I don't want to fucking be like him. I said, people only come in, or Imus for that matter, because, you know, people only come in because they want to hear the yelling. They know these two guys don't like each other. They insult each other every fucking, you know, morning or whatever. And, you know, and then they'll take news stories and totally rip it up. And they had no patience for the poor, no patience for criminals or people who got caught up on the wrong side of the system. They didn't respect women very much. You know, I mean, they still don't, if you still listen to the show. So it's, you know, that to me set a lot of a pattern, too. I mean, it's kind of always been there. And then you had, what was it, Harvey. Remember him?
Oh,
conservative.
Yeah, whom Bart Kopp used to refer to as that old horse molester, Paul Harvey.
You know, Paul Harvey's. I mean, they still play him in Paulden every now and again.
You know? The rest of the story. Yeah,
so it's always been there, but because of what's going on right now, I mean, look, Fox is in place because it serves a purpose. It serves a purpose. If they really wanted to get rid of them, when they lost that Florida case against their own journalists, where they admitted, we make up stories, you know, we're not a news service, we're an entertainment venue.
Yeah.
And it happened to O'Reilly, too. Oh, we're not a news service. I mean, he got caught lying. So, you know, it's like, we know that they're full of shit, and we know that, you know, it's not so much that they're called justice. That's their cover. That this is all fun. So we have some silly blondes up here that plays into all of the, you know, misogynist stereotypes. We have some jerks like Steve Doocy, you know, sit there and look stupid. And you know, and people get excited about this. I mean, I was just telling somebody the other day, the majority of African people in the United States, when they do watch news, which we don't, the Nielsen ratings, this is on black and white, we don't. But when we do watch news, we watch Fox. And when I ask people, why do you watch Fox? They think it's funny. They're not looking for news. The same way with a lot of young white people I speak to. It's hard to talk politics with them because if they didn't see it on Jon Stewart, they don't know about it. They have iPhones. They're online 24 hours a fucking day, but they do not follow news. They don't read international news, and they don't really look at their own country's news. They don't know what's going on. They can tell you about what shoes are up and what new computers and iPhones are coming out or the new Android, but they can't tell you about what the hell is going on, not until it's too late. If they don't see it on Facebook, they don't know about it. And that's a real problem. The fact that we are not interested anymore because we've been dumbed down. We can see this culturally. We have been dumbed down. I mean, a lot of my pals, they're 50 years old. They're dressing like young guys. I mean, you know, they don't tuck their shirts in any longer. They never wear a proper pair of shoes. They wear what's in these catalogs. They get these spiky haircuts that are really for younger men. I'm like, what the fuck, man? You're 52 years old. What the hell's going on? Oh, man, you know, that's the fashion. And even the music sounds more juvenile to me. What they call it, lo-fi? The sounds like, you know, acoustic, whatever the fuck. You know, I mean, it's, you know, dang, 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 dang. You know, it doesn't mean anything to me. It's juvenile. Reality TV is fucking juvenile. To watch grown adults act the way that they goddamn do, to know they're on camera, they're acting like fucking fools, you know? No. We've been made into children, psychologically, because how else could they get away with what they're doing? No conscious population in a functioning democracy would allow this. It just wouldn't happen. In order for anything to happen on this scale, the public has to be behind it or be completely, you know, ignorant into what the hell is happening because they think they're going to get something out of it. Because, you know, this is the land of temporary poverty. If you're poor here, it's your own fault.
Yeah. Yeah, was it Bush who said if you don't have $1 million, you're not rich?
Something like that.
And if you don't have $1 million, you're not trying?
Yeah, I mean, he's the same one that when he was at that black tie dinner said, here are my constituents, those who have and those who have more.
Yeah, the haves and the have-mores. You betcha. Hey, Angry, we got to get out of here.
All right, brother, peace. And please, do what you can to keep this man's show on and, you know, help him out, all right? Do what you can.
Thank you, Angry. Thank you. Our buddy, the Angry Indian. A couple minutes left. Let's go over to the Gizmo line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
What's happening, Devin?
That was a lot in a very short period of time there.
Angry sets a table.
Yeah. Now, I was just going to say, now that it looks like the FCC is going to go for Title II reclassification of the Internet as a utility, now the Congress is going to pass a little piece of legislation called Title X, which will, give the cable companies what they want.
Oh, God. Well, does that mean we have to drop all our F bombs while we still can?
Well, you know, it just may mean that all we get is a spinning, smoking circle when we, try to do this stuff on the internet.
Oh God, I hope not. I hope not, Devin.
Yeah, that's what I was calling about, but
we probably need to discuss that at somewhat greater length.
Yeah, we don't have the time for that this time, though, unfortunately. Just a little quote I was going to give you regarding what Angry was talking about. Those in power are obsessed with depoliticizing society because they know we have the numbers on our side and they cannot win a fair fight.
That's kind of it in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yep.
All right. Well, Devin, you have yourself a good evening. Stay warm. I imagine you're not any better off than we are here.
4 degrees.
Four? You've got four?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. I'm at nine. I'm at nine. So I think you're a little high. Your altitude's a little higher than mine. Well, stay warm. Fire up the. Make sure the furnace chugs along, and we will talk soon.
All right.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Our buddy Devin calling from the quiet zone in West Virginia. It is time to get out of here. Thank you, Dan, and thank you, Roger, for helping us out this evening. That was really huge. Right up against it. Good night, y'all.